Good evening. Turn your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 6. You know, I'm not a big believer in, signs, but went to print my message and my printer was out of ink. So then I changed the color to red, still didn't print. Changed it to blue, still didn't print. So I emailed it to myself and went upstairs to log into my wife's computer to print it off of her printer. And couldn't remember my login. So then I finally did get in, got it printed out. And I like to have my notes organized like this. Well, it printed them like this, two little tiny pages. So then I had to go back and print it out. And then we went to leave and I couldn't find my Bible. Yeah. So, that being the case. All right. So I guess we're going to see how this will turn out. All right. So the last couple of times I've had the opportunity to speak, I've been really kind of focusing on the importance of engaging the Holy Spirit. Engaging the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring about the change and that upward growth that the Scripture speaks about regarding us. In my thinking about how to engage the Spirit, to really work with Him to grow in Christ, I mentioned four necessary and primary components in which the Christian must participate and be absorbed in to do this. And those four primary components are faith, prayer, the Word, and assembly to break bread. Now, you may remember the picture that I had in my head. I'll show you a little one here. I'm not going to draw it again. But the little picture that I have in my head that helps me to remember the importance of each of these components and how they work together and how they really work together to engage the whole. Funny thing is Stitch was here one of the times that I'd preached. And he made me this little thing on a little physical thing on his 3D printer, and it was in my Bible. So, just figures, doesn't it? At any rate, the thing is that I think each of the things that we're talking about here, faith, you know, prayer, the Word, and assembly, these aren't concepts that are really difficult to grasp. They're just things that we need to hear about, things that we need to be reminded of. And so tonight we're going to focus on the next piece of the pyramid of the picture that I had in my head, and that is, of course, on prayer. First of all, to start out with, here in Matthew chapter 6, during Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he has a couple of things to say about prayer. Matthew chapter 6, let's read verse 6. He says, "When you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you do hear us, Lord, that you are the God of all creation, and that you desire to hear from us. Lord, you have taught us much about prayer through Christ and through the apostles and all of those that have come before them in the Old Testament. And Lord, you continue to teach us much about the value of prayer today. So I pray, Lord, that the message tonight will encourage us and motivate us to pray even more, to pray without ceasing, to wear you out with our requests and our petitions and thanksgivings to you. Thank you so much for Christ, and it is in his name we pray. Amen. So, Jesus here, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he mentions praying to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So I want to focus tonight on what I guess you can call private prayer or secret prayer, prayer that isn't necessarily something that's done for the public. Actually, in verse 5 of that same chapter, he says, "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." You know, Jesus is using the hypocrites as an example here and as a bad example. And So I want to focus on the positive side of this, and that is that ultimately, that private prayer that we have the opportunity to engage in is quite powerful. So I want to focus on that tonight. You know, there are a couple of things I want to cover tonight. I want to talk about the advantages of this form of spiritual discipline and devotion. I also want to encourage its adoption in our daily lives. I don't want to see a share of hands, but I want you to think about it. When was the last time you prayed? And it wasn't for a meal, and it wasn't because you were in trouble, and it wasn't because you were here in the assembly. I mean, when was the last time you really prayed for something? Or really prayed for someone? Because that's important. Private prayer is so important to developing our spiritual strength. You know, you look at bodily exercise. It's something that builds muscle. It builds endurance. It allows you to go, what is the term, faster, stronger, higher, you know? And spiritual exercise does the same thing. The practice of prayer is a form of spiritual exercise. You know, it is that gymnasium where we go in and we practice godliness. Prayer is one of those things that you can't fool God in prayer. You know, you can talk a big talk to people, and you can say one thing, and you can do another, and people may not even notice. But that's not something you can do to God. I think that's one of the reasons why people don't do it, why they don't pray. You know, I think it was, I was looking up some quotes on this a while ago, and it was an interesting quote that this guy had, and he said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. The thing is that prayer is, it's educational. When you pray, you grow. When you pray, you learn more about God's character. You learn more about your character and where you are and where you need to grow and where you need to maybe root out some things. Prayer is one of those things that if we do it on a regular basis, we will get better at it. And we will be more apt to listen as well. Just as another introductory comment, when we want to really cultivate that spiritual nature within us, one of the important things about private prayer is to do it without distraction. That's really hard to do in today's world, isn't it? I mean, distraction. I'm pretty sure that is one of Satan's greatest weapons and tools. For those of you that don't remember, we used to have a window back there in the sound room, right about where Dave is. Yeah, we used to have a window. We still have the window. It's just under 4 layers of sheetrock. But for those of you that may remember, and I will, a little time of public confession here, every once in a while I would sit in there and I would look out in the audience, and guess what I saw a lot of times? Facebook, YouTube, the news, sports scores, while the preaching's going on. Tisk tisk, huh? Well, why do you think private prayer should be done without distraction? You know, that's hard to do. We're all busy people. We all have a million things going on. And I can tell you that is a very difficult thing for me to do. To set those things aside and to just pray. To not have those distractions, to shut the telephone off, to ignore the emails that I know I've got to check, to not worry about the other things that are going on in the world around me, but to really focus in prayer. But I tell you what, when I do those things, when I actually do shed off all those other distractions, I tell you what, man, prayer is so energizing. And you'll find yourself spending a lot of time in it. And that's good. You know, it's easy to be distracted even here. You know, you sit here and you listen to the prayers of the guys that come up here, and there's babies. Thank God for that, you know, really. People that have coughs or sneezing or you know, the floor creaking or your knees popping or whatever. there's distractions all the time. You know, even here. So private prayer is so very important. You know, private prayer also helps us to focus on personal concerns. Things that you're not going to bring up in a prayer for the Lord's Supper. You know, hopefully, anyway. You know, public prayer, by its very nature, rarely addresses the specific needs of the individual. And private prayer, though, it provides the opportunity to pour out your soul to God. You know, there's the ability to go to the Creator, the one who made us, the one who loves us, the one who created us, and who bought us back, and pour out your soul, knowing that He knows it anyway. What a powerful release. You know, there are mistakes that I make every day. There are things that, you know, in my work or in my personal life, or things that, you know, they might bug me. Man, I wish I could have done them differently. And you know what? Bringing those things to God, you know how much of a weight that lifts off your shoulders? Really. When we pray on a regular basis and our spiritual nature is developed and we grow, it's greatly enhanced by that private prayer, because it forms a habit of close association with God. You know, you think about the habitual nature of man. And we are creatures of habit, and that is why distraction is so easy for us to give into. I mean, we have, and I've talked about this before, but we have physiological responses to responding to distraction. So I'll just take Facebook as an example. I use Facebook. I try to limit my interaction with it. For one thing, I don't have a lot of time for it. But the thing is it's proven, and they know this, that when you respond, when you put something out on Facebook and somebody likes it, you get a dopamine boost. Yes. It's a little tiny one. It's almost immeasurable. But guess what? Just like everything else, over time, you get addicted to it. That your body expects it. So your first response is you hear that little ding, or you feel the buzz in your pocket. I mean, how many of you have phantom buzzes all the time? Ah, my phone. I do. You know, my phone's on. You know, nothing happened, but I mean, I swear it vibrated in my pocket. The thing is that we have these physiological responses to those things. So of course, distraction is going to be easy. So our habits as human beings can be good or bad. And developing good habits is one of the big challenges for new Christians, right? It's the big challenge for all Christians to develop new habits and to keep them going. Cleansing the inside of the cup is essentially what that book is about. I mean, cover to cover, it's essentially about developing good habits and the challenges of those things. You know, the habit of regular private prayer is no exception. Regular practice of private prayer, it forms a habit that lends itself to the development of a close communion and fellowship with the one who created us. And once that habit has been formed, one cannot help but be influenced by the constant communication, if you will, with God. Now let's go over to Proverbs chapter 13. So when we develop this habit, chapter 13, Proverbs 13, verse 20. When we develop this habit, the Lord, is, as He should be anyway, is always on our mind. And we're always in that constant communication. And in verse 20 there it says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." You know, if your constant companion is the Lord, because you're always in prayer and you're always thinking about that, man, you, talk about how much better decisions you'll be able to make. Talk about how much... Think about how much better your personal relationships will be every day when you are acting from the perspective of God, when you have God's wisdom in your head. You know, with that help of that habit of close communication with God, prayer also keeps us from making a lot of bad decisions. And, you know, it's easy to say, you know, bad decisions. When I say bad decisions, probably the things that come to your mind, or I don't know. Everybody probably thinks different things, but, you know, you think of the big ones. Well, you know, drinking and driving or beating your wife. You know, I'm not talking about those things. Hopefully prayer will keep you from those too. But the small things that are mistakes throughout your day. You know, like getting frustrated with people. You know, I deal a lot with a lot of different people that don't know anything about what they're talking about. And I know just a little bit more, just a tiny bit more than they do. And it's easy to get frustrated sometimes. It's easy to, how many of you have kids? How many of you have spouses? How many of you have parents? How many of you have neighbors? How many of you go to the grocery store and get frustrated with the person in front of you because they're driving too slow? You think prayer will help you deal with those things properly? I mean, on the way here, of course, couldn't get my message printed, and then I got it printed, and I couldn't find my Bible, so I'm using a backup, which is pre-95, which is kind of funny. And then on the way here, of course, we're driving behind somebody who's slow. I'm thinking, it's a Sunday, I know, but not now. The Sunday drive should have happened already. And my wife's like, well, we're not going to get there any faster. And I'm like, yeah, and if we get pulled over, get into an accident, it'll be even later. So the thing is that prayer helps you to make the best of every situation. To realize that communion with God is always there. And it helps us to make those good decisions. You know, if you look at the book of James, let's go over to James chapter 1. James actually talks a little bit about some of the things that are at the root, if you will, for the problems that we often face in dealing with our attitudes and other things. The many troubles we face really come from these things. James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who know the truth. So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean this doesn't apply to you anymore. So the devil's drug, LSD, it continues to have the same effect, or can have the same effect on the Christian. It can draw you away. So the lusts of the flesh are strong. Let's go over to James chapter 4. And he's, again, writing to Christians, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have. So you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, how many of you remember who Janis Joplin is? Most of you people over the age of 50 should raise your hand. Or maybe over 40. Remember, she had a song, and I know Kevin knows. It's, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? All my friends, they drive Porsches. I must make amends. That's prayer, right? So now I should go out in the parking lot and there should be a nice brand new Mercedes Benz out there for me, right? No. Of course not. Because you're praying with wrong motives. What James is getting at is that if there's quarrels and conflicts, and maybe you ask in prayer for something, whoa, boy, Lord, I hope that person gets what they deserve, because yeah, they need... Whoa, wait a minute. There's a problem with that. The thing is that the lusts of the flesh, they wage war against what the Spirit desires. You know, Galatians 5, for the sake of time, I won't go there, but Galatians 5, 16 and 17 talks about that. And controlling the self is a difficult challenge. Self-control is one of the biggest and most challenging things you will ever face in your life, in whatever area it might be. Proverbs chapter 16, you know, the Proverbs are full of a great many pieces of wisdom on self-control. But the one that I think sticks out to me is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. How true is that? You know, there's a great many people who can do a lot of things in the physical world, in this world in which we live. People who make tremendous amounts of money, who build kingdoms, who destroy them.
People who put their names on buildings and become the president. You know? And those are things that are pretty impressive in this world. But one who can rule his spirit is greater than any of those. It's a big challenge. So prayer will help with that. Private prayer will help with that. And see, there's a lot of things that go into that. So, for instance, pride. Pride is one of those things. You can't really have that when you're in prayer with God. I mean, you can try, but it's foolish. You know, thank you, Lord, for listening to me, because you know the kind of guy I am. You betcha. Thank you, Lord. Catch you later. Come on. You know, hopefully nobody's going to pray like that. It's not going to work. But pride. Pride is one of those things that can be treated with humbling yourself before God in prayer. The problem of revenge. How about that one? Oh, I really want to get... That's a tough one to go before the Lord and, you know, ask for the whole, you know, smoking hole for one of your saints or one of your fellow brethren or your neighbor or, you know, the guy across the street or whatever. It's pretty tough to do because God, of course, is very clear that vengeance is His and He will repay. So how about the problem of anger, wrath, malice, all those things that are harbored in the heart of the flesh? You know, God gives us a solution for those things. Romans chapter 8. So Romans here, chapter 8, verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit who also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know, there are times in prayer and there are times in life where we don't know what to say. We don't know all the right words. We don't know how to help. We don't know what to ask for. But the, you know, the Holy Spirit is given to us. He is a helper. He is there to intercede for us. He's there to make that connection for us. And the Spirit is going to help us through prayer wipe out those things. That same Spirit is the one whose fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc., etc. That same Spirit that dwells within us is the one who wants us to have those, the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., etc. So, private prayer is instrumental in controlling the flesh. I will tell you that no significant spiritual growth will happen without private prayer. No overcoming the desires of the flesh are going to be permanent without private prayer. Without it, it might last a little while. You might, by sheer willpower, be able to stop doing the things you shouldn't be and start doing the things you should be, but it's not going to last. And without private prayer, the godly virtues of the soul will die. It is impossible to live as a Christian without private prayer. At least to live forever. You know, about the only way that you can get away with that is if you get in the water and you're the last one and you're done. Because the second you come out of the water, you better be ready to pray. And you better be engaging in it all the time. And, of course, prayer secures for us a lot of good. You know, prayer is more than a psychological effort. There's a lot of good, valuable introspection in prayer, if you do it right. Valuable things that even from a worldly perspective, fleshly people can learn from. But it reaches out to God, who hears prayers and who wants to hear from you. You know, I can't think of an adequate example other than the Creator of the universe wants to talk to you, wants to hear from you. God rewards prayers. You ever thought about that? I mean, not the, you know, when prayers are done with the right motive, of course, but let's go over to Matthew chapter 6 again, and let's read that verse again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." God rewards prayer. He repays you with it. Have you ever thought about that? That the object of prayer is not just for the get it off your chest, but to ask for help and then get it? I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you really needed help with something and you couldn't find it. And when you finally do get it, how much relief is there in that? Well, how much help do we need to live by the Spirit every day? A lot more than I can provide, personally. We need the help that comes from prayer. We need the help that comes from that relationship with God. And when we ask according to the will of God, that prayer is supercharged. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, verse 14, he says, "And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him." If you want to know if prayer works, pray in accordance with God's will. And you will see those things happen. And prayer is powerful, and it's been known to change God's plans, or at least have a different outcome than what people assumed. Look at the prayer of Hezekiah. He was dying. How about 15 more years? How about the prayer of the Ninevites? Oops, we made a mistake. We repent. Please don't smoke and hole us. And it worked. How about all the other times that leaders prayed for their people? How about Moses? How many times did Moses have to intercede? How many times did God intercede so Moses didn't do anything stupid? But, think about what prayer does for people, for the world, for Christ, for the church, for the saints, for the lost. Prayer is, it's so much more than a simple psychological or spiritual exercise. And prayer is effective for helping us receive our daily food. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Kind of important, isn't it? To pray for those things. How about for overcoming temptation? Matthew chapter 26, let's go there. Prayer allows us to do a lot of things. Prayer allows us to live in this world and be lights. Without prayer, It's really hard. Let's have verse 42 of Matthew chapter 26. He says, "He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done.'" Do you think that Jesus was ever tempted that there wasn't the opportunity for him to bail? What I mean is that Jesus had to make the decision to do what he did. It wasn't something that was written in stone. It wasn't something that couldn't happen, that couldn't not happen. You know what I mean? Jesus had to make the decision to go through what he knew was coming. You think that maybe praying for the will of God, for his will to be done, even though he didn't... I'm sorry, Jesus' flesh didn't want to go through that. He wasn't looking forward to the cross. "Oh, goody, I can't wait. I can't wait to have the flesh ripped off my bones. Yay!" He didn't want that. His flesh didn't want it. You don't think that there was a thought in his mind that, man, and he says it. "If there's another way that this can happen, please. But if not, your will be done." When you're facing temptation, pray in that way. Pray that if there's another way, great. But if not, let me go through this with the right attitude. Let your will be done. And of course, prayer helps us to escape the wrath to come. It really does. It helps. It's our fire insurance, if you will. So since God, who hears prayers, who is our Father in heaven, who delights to hear our prayers, should we neglect it? Should we set it aside so that we don't secure the blessings for ourselves? Of course not. And of course, prayer also helps us to promote good things and happiness for others as well. What I mean by that is that how important it is it for those that go out into the world to preach the gospel to pray? Because you know what? It's hard. It's hard to spend and invest your time into other people and to have them throw it away. It's hard to invest your time and effort and money and lives into people and even have them accepted. It's great. But people are a lot of work. I mean, think about all the people that helped you get to where you are today. It's a lot of work. And I don't think that those things were accomplished without prayer. So, to just wrap this up, I want to challenge you. I want you to, if you aren't already, I want you to set aside time for private prayer every day this month. Every day. Do it. Every day. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. But if you're not doing it, set aside time every single day to truly pray to the Lord. And meals don't count. Bedtime doesn't count for, you know, if you pray with your kids. No, I'm talking private prayer. Set it aside. One of the blessings that I have is that I have about a 20-minute drive to work. Man, all alone in the car. There's still some distractions, traffic. But I tell you what, that is so valuable. I love that. 20 minutes every day. Twice a day. Usually on the way home, there's too much traffic. There's too many to focus. But on the way there in the morning, man, I tell you what, that 20 minutes is awesome. And I wish sometimes it would take longer. But anyway, I want to challenge you to set aside the time for private prayer every day this month. Find the time and the place that works for you and be consistent. If you want to, try a prayer journal. Prayer journals are great. My problem with prayer journals is that I'm about 4 pages ahead in my head where I am on my pen. But try it. If that helps you, try it. And you know what? I want you to pour out your soul to the one who made you. He cares for you. You know, if you need a template on how to pray, remember the Acts one. I don't know who came up with it, but adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. If you need a template, use it. You know what? If not, just open your mouth. Start praying to the Lord, and He will hear you. If you do this every day for 1 month, and you do it with sincerity, and you do it with a mind towards growth and a mind towards increasing your faith and praying for others and all the things that we talked about, your personal relationships every day will be strengthened. The relationship with your wife will be strengthened, or your husband will be strengthened. The relationship with your brother or sister, with your neighbors, with God, everything will be strengthened by it. And you will see that prayer works. I guarantee it. The Lord guarantees it. The Lord of all creation desires to have a deep and personal relationship with you. His creation, His child. Should we neglect that? Certainly not.